Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Coming up, Kate Delaney, happy Thanksgiving. We're almost there. Can you believe it? 2020. Getting to Thanksgiving was not what I thought it would be. Not the way my schedule was looking, not what was happening at all, would I have predicted, and of course, who did, that it would be these 8-plus months. It feels longer than that, doesn't it? That we've been in the pandemic, and we're dealing with all kinds of things, flare-up in cases, all of that. So think, just take a moment and be grateful for something. I think if you just take a breath and get out there and walk and think about what to be grateful for, some of the stress, because it is stressful. It's stressful to overthink it. I think that's what it is. It's stressful to overthink it. You like that? Coming up, a conversation with Gavin Hogarth, and he has epilepsy, and he talks about, as a kid, being bullied, but he talks about what you can know for the signs of epilepsy, and what do you do when someone around you comes down with epilepsy. What does it mean? How do you handle it? And I say, well done to that, because I've never seen a book from the perspective of the person going through it. So they can tell you exactly, I mean, to a T, exactly what you need to know when you see something and how you can help, when people either want to rush away or they want to help. And then we're going to have a conversation with Graham Burgess. And Graham Burgess is this brilliant with looking at numbers and turning around the meanings of things. And he wrote a book called PRDS. He wrote a couple of books, but PRDS, Paradise, Secret, you know. And in the book, he talks about these secrets that get revealed in our lives if we pay attention. So, for example, even in letters, like letters in the English alphabet in uppercase, he says our most used letter is the letter E. And what does E mean? Capable of taking in, holding, and giving out energy and information. And how great is that? So he also gave me some skinny on my, I guess I'll call it skinny on my name and what the, you know, what it means. What does, what does the name mean? And he sent me a whole thing analysis. I'll call it analysis that he did to look up what, and my full name would be Catherine, right? So K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. And he says the K is the outreaching, which I have, he says. A is our perceived reality, which you work within big time. T means the substitution in this reality. And then H is the universal aspirant to being lively. And I'd say he nailed me in so many ways. N, he said, is test all assumptions, right? And Y, he says it looks like a tree and means capable of taking and holding energy and information. So you get it. That there's, it's like Egypt when you think about the tombs and what are the secrets and that we don't know. That can you imagine if we knew some of them and just how you would look about in what you're saying and how you would pull letters together. I think in a different way. I mean, so he's taught me to look at that. And so I'm actually really grateful because he created in me that way to look at something different after our off-air conversation and now this on-air conversation that you're going to get to, hear. And then I've always been fascinated by opals, and James Calderwood joins us from Australia, and he is somebody who's worked in the opal business, and he's written about opals. He's written about a lot of different things, but he talks a lot about, to me, he was talking a lot about how to know what it looks like, the opals that you're looking at, and farming them. What does that mean? How do you farm opals? And good opals mean, you know, you're paying off whatever the loans or whatever it is you need, because you've got to drill them up. And it's some of those black opals is, of course, what people are really looking for. It's so fascinating to me to talk about that, because I like the whole rocks thing and earth and what are you pulling up from the earth, and, you know, definitely fits into that. Earlier this week, I mentioned that on Thanksgiving Day, there are three football games, and the three football games to kick off the week, which there's always a Thursday night game, but to kick off the week and to give Thanksgiving, make it bigger. It used to just be the one game. You've got the and there is no nail the score this time around, by the way, sadly, because this is a time of thanks for all of us, including me. But the Texans and the Lions, Washington and the Cowboys, and topping it off with the Ravens and the Steelers, those games are part of your Thursday night experience. You know, it goes, you go through the week, and it all ends up on November 30th, last day of the year. Seahawks and the Eagles. The Eagles are the sort of woulda, coulda, shoulda team. They're 3-5-1, and the Seahawks have soared. They're doing well this season, and so that's it. It is all about leftovers coming up into the weekend. And what's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal? I mean, is it cranberries? Is it turkey? Is it the side dishes? Someone told me one time the side dishes. Are you kidding? Is it the mashed potatoes? Whatever it is, because some people do yams and some people do pumpkin pies and some people don't do any of that. Some people go and they get the meal where they have it delivered to them. Right, I'm not cooking. Where can we order from? Because especially now we can't go out for the dinner. We maybe in some places we can, but we'd rather not. So we're going to do the curbside pickup thing. And I know that they're seeing a soar in that anyway. So places that are going to serve Thanksgiving, a lot of it will most likely be that way. I mean, how do we get this far that we, you got to figure out that we're almost through November and now we're going to get to December. And can you imagine what New Year's is going to be for a lot of people? Watching the ball drop. We're going to sit by the tube. We're going to watch the ball drop and we're going to celebrate 2021. Because a lot of people are, of course, not happy with what happened in 2020. Not expecting that, because you head into a new decade and there's so much optimism. Right? There's so much optimism about what's going to happen, and this is going to be the decade that I get in shape and I do this for my community and I do that. And, you know, everybody has their list of things that they're going to accomplish, especially when you flip the calendar on a decade. But I still say there's a lot to be thankful for, so keep that in your heart. And I'm giving you all a big, I know it's cheesy, a big virtual hug. Hang with us.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. According to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America, this motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
You know, we've been saying that the people are kind of find themselves in a little bit of a funk, and no surprise by things that are happening around us. But there's always things happening around us in this world. So this time around in Author's Corner, Kenneth Powell joins us, and he's written a book called Visions and Dreams. And they communicate from God or, you know, just us. Are they communication from God or just us is really the underlying theme, and it's the subtitle of the book. And it really, I took those words and I kind of flipped them around and flipped them in another direction, and I thought, wow, they're interchangeable. So, Kenneth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
And we need to tell people, first of all, about your incredible career. Some of you listening may recognize Kenneth's name. I mean, you're an incredible musician, incredible pianist, and you've traveled all over the world. Was that a gift that you honed and had from an early age?
Well, yes. Actually, like most small children, I took music lessons when I was 8 years old, but I didn't really like them. You know, my mom made me go, and but over time, I started. I wasn't a very socially outgoing person, so the piano became my friend. Later on, a few years after that, so I just kept at it until I started liking it, and so that's pretty much how it happened.
I love that description of what you just said, because I'm thinking to myself right now, I had piano lessons around that same age. Oh, Kenneth, I was terrible. I couldn't even, I mean, people say, oh, can't you even just play chopsticks? I was like, chopsticks was a concert, full-on concert for the neighborhood for me. So you are talented and skilled. Don't be shy about that. So you've met thousands and thousands of people. Is there a piece of music that you like the best that you play?
Oh, wow. not particularly. I'm not the kind of person that restricts myself to a single genre of music. I just kind of think of it all as just music. It's all music to me. So, I have lots of different favorites. It depends on, I guess, what time period you're talking about, what era, what region or country or what style. You know, I have so many, but I'm partial to jazz. You probably picked up on that. I love jazz piano, and I have lots of jazz influences from the golden age. So I guess I do lean toward that. But the classics, you can never go wrong with that either.
All right, so give us, you're teasing us. Give us a classic.
Well, my favorite was Rachmaninoff, the Romantics. I love that era. I played a lot of Chopin when I was taking lessons. So of course, if you play classical piano, yeah, those are going to be very too heavily influences. They're heavy influences on your stylings. Piano, oh my gosh, there's so many in jazz. We could have Herbie Hancock from the moderns, you know, before that. My all-time favorite is Art Tatum, Errol Garner, Ahmad Jamal, McCoy Tyner, people like that.
Nice.
And I could talk all day about that.
Yeah, I know. You could. You've traveled all over the world, Germany, all these great places, and you definitely have fans in a lot of different ports. But this is different. So this book, Visions and Dreams, and are they communication from God or just us, as I said? Tell us about why you wrote this book.
Well, I was just thinking about dreams and how dreams occur in the Bible, and how there were so many people in the Bible who God communicated with through dreams. And I thought, well, does God still do that? I mean, we don't have any definitive answer to that question. So I thought, well, I should look around and see what the different opinions are about on that subject. And there are, it turns out, a lot of different opinions about it. And there's not really a consensus as to whether or not our dreams are really divine experiences, even though we all have them.
Right.
But they could be.
Right. So it's interesting in finding that it had to be kind of fascinating for you, because you were exploring. You're like an explorer. So you're looking and reading one thing, and then you're moving to another part, biblically speaking, and putting this all together. Was that really fun, doing the research?
It was fun. Because I enjoy a challenge. I like stretching myself and challenging myself intellectually, which is why which is what I love best about being a college professor. You know, doing the research and that and teaching. I love the teaching part as well, but the research part I really got into it. So I was kind of in my element when I decided to research a topic strictly for my own curiosity and not for any occupational requirement or anything like that. So it was liberating in that regard.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope that people, since dreams are a universal experience, universal experiences, I should say, that we should consider very carefully whether or not the dreams we have, is it God trying to tell us something? If I think I have a divine dream, should I talk to someone about it? Who should I talk to? Should I find my own answers? And I hope that the reader takes the subject seriously enough to want to explore the topic for themselves.
Yeah, boy, well said. So you know that as a college professor, it's about getting people interested, and you definitely have us interested. There's no question about it. I have to ask you about your lovely wife that I read about, Shelley. What does she think? It's like, oh, boy, you're taking me on another adventure, Kenneth. What did she say?
Well, not much. She's been wonderful through the whole experience. She's very supportive, and I guess because I'm into a lot of other things, that it probably didn't surprise her very much that I attempted to write a book for the first time. I don't think she quite believed me when I told her I'm going to write a book, but nevertheless, she's been wonderful about it. She's been great, and she's been telling her friends and coworkers about it, and they've been calling me, congratulating me, and I was very touched by that.
Well, now you can add author to the list of things that you've done with this book, because you're a producer, recording artist, a composer, and you've worked in the music industry for more than 30 years. You're a professor, you've taught literature and composition courses at lots of different colleges, and I think if we met, you probably could really work with me on chopsticks.
I hope I remember the tune. How does that go?
Yeah, I gotta sit next to an old piano and see if I can put my hands in the formation of that. It's so funny. You are such a delight. I love your sense of humor, and you're very, very uplifting, and you can feel that. So Kenneth Powell, we want to tell everyone, pick up the book Visions and Dreams, and you can get that on Amazon. And thanks so much for sharing your story with the listeners. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Back to normal by the summer. That's what the chief science advisor for Operation Warp Speed believes is possible if enough Americans are vaccinated against the coronavirus. Dr. Mansif Salawi tells CNBC that distributing enough vaccines for 70 to 80% of the country to get vaccinated, to get to herd immunity, will be a challenge. But the distribution of the yearly flu vaccine can be used as a model.
This is an important challenge. However, people need to know that every year, between 140 and 180 million doses of flu vaccine are produced, distributed, inoculated in the U.S. population in a period that goes between the month of August and the month of maybe January. So, you know, we may be doubling that number and over the period of time, but, you know, it's not made from scratch.
This is USA Radio News. Congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle say that passing another round of coronavirus stimulus will be their top priority when they return to Washington on November 30th. But what should a package look like if they can even agree on one? White House trade advisor Peter Navarro says the economy needs a fiscal bridge to keep things going until coronavirus vaccines are widely available. He tells Fox News that there are three important aspects from the original stimulus package that need to be continued to keep the economy going.
We need a top-up on the PPP, the small business loans, that was extremely successful keeping businesses employed. If you lose a small business, they ain't coming back. We need to save those. We need another relief check for stimulus to families, like the $1,200 check, and we need a reboot on our unemployment compensation.
Those first-time unemployment claims rose last week to 778,000, 50,000 filers above what economists were expecting. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Be a bigger issue in our time. Grace Alice Mukasa joins us, and she nails it in her book. She says in her book, and this is the name of it, Gender is a Choice, Inspired, Proactive, and Self-Actualized. Boy, oh boy, there is so much in that title, and we see where we are in cultures all over the world. And it starts for Grace, I think, in Africa and her upbringing. So, Grace, thank you so much for coming on.
It's been helpful.
Let's talk about you growing up and what was that like, and tell us where you grew up and what it was like in Africa for you as a young girl and later in life.
I grew up in Kampala, Uganda, in a polygamous family, I would say. My father had three wives, and I was the first born in my mother's place. I was the first born girl. I had seven male siblings and two sisters who came at the bottom. And that's where I learned about being a woman in a polygamous family. To me, I started realizing it dehumanizes. My mom was married, but not married. And most of the upbringing we had was from our mother. Our father was like a visitor. I must say I had a very close relationship with him. But as I grew up, I started realizing there is something not okay. Then they took me to a boarding school, a girls' school only. And I felt, I think, very protected. But whenever I would come back for holidays as a girl, I couldn't help to notice that my brothers would not feel the responsibility to do the work at home. And it all fell on me. I had to cook. We had a helper. But my mom told the helper to rest when I come. My mom thought she was training me to do what? To be responsible. But she had many boys. They come in, they go and play. They come in, they eat whatever they can afford. You serve them food, they don't want even to take their plates to the kitchen. They don't wash up. And that work, which is so repetitive every day, every day. You cook, you wash, you cook, you wash, you clean. You don't rest. And I noted it was not okay. And wherever my dad came, he would really be dealing with the discipline issues. Because the boys were not easy to manage by my mom alone. And then he goes away, comes back maybe a week later, and life goes on. Unfortunately, my mom also died early. She died at only 42 years from cancer. And then the burden came even heavier on me to look after my younger siblings because my dad had to go back to his other wives.
Wow. So let me jump in. So that is rough. You know, you're talking about the cooking, the washing, the cleaning, and the responsibilities. So in your mind, you see what happens in that culture in Africa. Then you go to the UK and you start to realize, and I think this is the journey of your book, that,
yeah.
Wow, it's the same for, in a different way, for women all over, right?
Yeah, it's the same. And I not see how there is a lot of, you know, things to help you. You can have an electric kettle, you have an electric iron, you have a fridge, you can store some food. Those things don't exist in Africa. And then I noted that even at work, it's women who are always requesting for flexible working hours because they couldn't afford the house child care. And then after pregnancy, you lose literally year out. When you come back, your friends have gone on. They've been promoted. So when will you catch up to become an effective woman leader? Many times I noted, even in Africa, if you are to be a leader, it's at the expense of other women. You need other women to look after your family. And it doesn't create an equal society. So my book is about the value system we currently hold. For people to realize that gender is a choice. You can make a choice how to treat other women, how to treat men. If you're a man, you can decide how to treat your maybe employees, to see them as the full human beings with the rights, but not as your sex objects. If you're a woman, again, you can make a choice. Incidentally, there are so many women leaders I've noted who also don't treat other women properly. So it's a book about recognizing women as full human beings with full human rights to be treated with dignity.
For you, what was it like writing the book Gender is a Choice, Inspired, Proactive, and Self-Actualized because of what you said was so powerful, what we see happening and how it is a choice. When you came through that journey and you finished the book, how did you feel?
Oh, I felt relieved, although I felt I had a lot to write. I still had a lot of information, you know, swirling in my head. Because when I wrote those different topics, like gender and sanitation, I felt like talking about management of menstruation by younger women is such a big issue. It could make a book of its own choice. I know so many girls who left school because of that. They go home. Every month you lose some 3, 4, 5 days. Then there is the whole issue of sanitary towels. I actually worked with some organization voluntarily on manufacturing reusable sanitary towels. But I know so many girls can't talk to, you know, the person with the purse. is Baghdad. But how do you start asking him for money to buy such when like anything related to sexuality is a taboo? So I wrote that book. I finished it. I was very happy. I was very excited. But then I said, oh my God, there is a lot here. Currently, I'm thinking a lot about women and livelihoods, especially now after this lockdown. I think of so many women. Some of them are my friends. They've lost employment because many women in Africa, especially in the informal sector, when it has collapsed, what do they do with their children? So I imagine many of, I was listening to some radio back home in Uganda, and they were saying so many girls have become pregnant during this lockdown. And I'm here wondering, what does it mean? They going to get married? In any case, is marriage the only route? They going to become dropouts and become single mothers and become even more disadvantaged in life? So those are the issues I struggle with. Not really struggle, but I feel we need to be more open about them and discuss them and see what is the solution. In all the organizations I've worked, I've really brought the issue of gender on board.
Which is such a good thing that that's become now, as I said in the beginning, such a focal point, because there are, I think the more men that get involved, and there's men listening who love their wives and their daughters and who are, I think, being enlightened by some of the things that are happening and trying to help. And that'll make a difference, won't it?
Yeah, it really would make a difference. After, as you are saying, men love their daughters, but I think they unconsciously walk into the trap of patriarchy, which favors men and disadvantages women. For example, in Africa, a lot of collateral for banks depends on your ownership of land. But our land is normally acquired through inheritance. And girls, they never get an inheritance. The parents will say, no, she will marry off and take that land out of our family. Then she marries. Where she marries, they say, she will run back one day and take back our land. So many women don't have any land, so you can't get even a loan from the bank. But maybe you have a small business which you want to uplift, but there is no opportunity for you to improve it the way you would like. And women in Africa are really holding the, you know, these small and medium enterprises. They are the ones running them. But many times they didn't get enough education. Many times they don't have that support of the bankers. They don't have the collateral. They say bring a land title, bring a car. You know, you find that it's a cycle of poverty. And my fear is that a poor woman today most likely will have a child who is also poor. And that one is a circle of poverty. Then there are also issues like pregnancy. In my book, I'm saying, let us have more compassion as a society when girls become pregnant. Rather than being so rough with a girl, many girls rush into abortion. And many of them use, you know, these shoddy roots, and they die in the process. And I buried a very close friend. In her family, there was even a doctor. But the girl died because she feared so much the reaction of her family. I'm saying, let us be compassionate. Let us maybe also do more training of our girls. Reproductive health is handled so poorly in our schools because sex is a taboo.
Yeah, wow. So much is said here that I hope people pick up your book and get inspired. Grace Alice Mukasa, Gender is a Choice, Inspired, Proactive, and Self-Actualized. So well said. I enjoyed our conversation. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yes, thank you. Thanks a lot.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America.
9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. According to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America, this motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Netflix is doing everything it can to get an avalanche of cancellations. There's a hashtag that's flying around that says cancel Netflix. And why is that? It's because of Cuties. And what is Cuties? Well, Cuties has a scene in it that really sexualizes children. 11-year-old girls we're talking about who are twerking, who are dancing. And it sparked an avalanche of controversy due to even the posters that are being used by Netflix to promote the movie Cutie. So there is a big call for a boycott of Netflix. Joining us now is Andy Berger, JD, a founder of Voices Against Trafficking. We've had her on before to talk about human trafficking and what's happening and how sad it is across the nation. And she's done some wonderful work in helping so many people. Andy, when you first heard about Cuties, what was your reaction?
It was absolutely revolting, Kate. I just have to tell you that it made not only myself sick, but my husband, to think that anyone would pose and manipulate young girls, 10, 11, 12 years old, you know, in a movie such as this. I have to wonder what the parents were thinking, you know, and what the people that were involved were thinking. But clearly, you know, money and influence are the motivating goals of Netflix in this one.
Yeah, do you think they can do anything to help their image with this? I mean, what could they do to clean up what has truly become a mess with it?
Wow, that's a big question. But the first thing would be to take the movie off completely. But really, I don't know if they can come back from this because now people are going to be watching them. They've lost, I think the numbers were upwards of 700,000 subscriptions and growing. So people are upset. People who have not only their own daughters, but, I mean, basically, it's child porn when you think about it. If anybody else had that on their home computer and were found out, they'd be arrested. So why is Netflix getting away with it?
Yeah, and I mean, this has been something you've worked your whole life in fighting against this, and you're doing everything you can to call to action anything to end human trafficking. I mean, certainly. And you're a survivor of abuse. You know what this is like. And how damaging is this to show this and plant that out there into our society?
At this point, since we don't know how many viewers, it's going to be hard to tell how many more pedophiles, how many more traffickers we're going to get out of this, because this movie whets the appetite of people with depraved nature and with a goal to sell children, which happens in this country, whether people want to acknowledge it or not, doesn't make it untrue. And we know that every 40 seconds in this country, Kate, a child is abducted, and out of those who are abducted, at least one will be taken into child trafficking. That's over 60,000 kids in this country, conservatively. So now you add this, because the audience is not children. The audience is who? The audience is adults to watch this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for people listening, living, for me, our satellite facilities in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we just had a huge story about two guys who were trying to pull girls off the street. They were circling around a high school, and they were trying to offer rides, and that's exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to kidnap some of these girls. So it happens in these suburban areas. I mean, I think that's what people don't understand, the disconnect. I mean, this isn't just happening in economically depraved areas. It's happening in your neighborhoods, believe it or not, right?
Absolutely. In fact, a few years back, before it became such a national issue, the profile was a white male, 35 to 45 years old, in a gated community with his own family as the main, you know, organizer, trafficker, you know, with his network of other traffickers. Now it's gone down. It's more like 25 to 35. But you're right. People who feel that, oh, and not in our neighborhood, or it's too good of a neighborhood, that's exactly the kind of neighborhood that this kind of thing can happen in. And one story is very quickly, we had a 16-year-old girl that was targeted at her high school, prep school, both parents professional, nice house. She had a younger sister. The predator targeted her from the parking lot of the high school, approached her, shoved a burner phone in her pocket, and said, if you don't answer this, I will kill your family, starting with your little sister. So what is a 16-year-old going to do? She's terrified. Took 3 years before the parents figured out what was going on with her extracurricular activities, which they thought were school, okay? Because the predator actually showed up at the house when the little sister got home. The big sister comes home, sees this, and knows that he will kill her family.
Wow. Oh, that is so, so scary. How can people find you, Andy?
They can find me at voicesagainsttrafficking.com. Voicesagainsttrafficking.com is launching an Add Your Voice campaign. Kate, we want to get a million people on our roster. They, when they go to that site, they just click join. They can email and say, add my voice, Jane Doe or John Doe. Because with a million voices, it's hard for anybody to not listen to the things that need to get done, whether it's legislative, whether it's education, whether it's mental health services, or, you know, more proactive prosecution of predators. So voicesagainsttrafficking.com has information, and they can also contact me through that site.
All right, Andy, as always, thank you so much for what you do and speaking out and being here on the show with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right, so picking up on that thread, too, again, of what's happening with Netflix, if you have no idea, I mentioned it, Cuties is this movie, and a scene from the movie went viral, which is playing right into the hands of the creepy folks that are out there that are looking to do nefarious things, sadly, to children. And that's why I mentioned the trend on Twitter of the hashtag cancel Netflix. The movie is about a group of 11-year-old girls who form a twerking dance group. And it's sparked that controversy. Of course it has, because of the scene that went viral and because of that poster that is out there that was used by Netflix to promote the movie. So, you know, it shows the girls dancing in a definite sexualized manner for an audience of adults, and it's led to those calls for boycotts. And you think of it, I mean, critics are accusing Netflix of publishing, and I agree with him, softcore child pornography, and say the movie was even worse than previously expected. And think of pedophilia and playing into pedophilia. So if you look at that hashtag and you go anywhere, you know, and look at this up, look this up, you'll see it, where, you know, this needs to be taken off the air. It's just disappointing. To me, it's disappointing to the number of people that are defending it. I'm all for freedom of expression and arts and et cetera, but you're enabling pedophilia. If you see this, it really does, and it's scary. And because I've just seen this happen in my own area, and I can't imagine if you're the mother of a young girl and you're somewhere just trying to get them educated. And I know a lot of people are home because of the pandemic, but many are going back to school, and you have people circling these high schools and middle schools and elementary schools and looking to exploit young girls and the vulnerability there. Wow. Encouraging that to me is so outrageous. I mean, come on. You know that, right? You're out there and you have grown daughters, you have granddaughters, you have nieces. And this is just, it's just very, very sad. And I am a big fan of Netflix normally, and I'm also adding my voice to being incredibly disappointed by this. And it's in telling a story, there are ways to tell a story, right? And in this is so explicit, seriously. The shots of these girls are unbelievable. So saying twerking is putting it mildly. I'm being nice. There's more than twerking that is happening here in what you're seeing. And this isn't a movie. I mean, this isn't a movie that's encouraging the opposite of what we want to see happen. I mean, you could say, and some people who are defending it are saying, oh, it's a social commentary against the sexualization of young children. But I don't think so. I think that this is the opposite of that, that it is it's pushing it out there, especially why does this scene go viral. So add your voice to that list. I mean, who wants to see that? So let's clean it up, absolutely. And thank you for listening to this version of the show.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.